Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was the chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining. Drop, keep screaming for more. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5. Wine's for you, we're drinking wine.
Say some words,
man. Hey, welcome to this post 4th July radio edition of Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu.
We all got our fingers. This is week one of our Labor Day Eve broadcast.
Yes. Look, we still have all our fingers.
Yep.
Because we didn't play with fireworks this year. But anyway, I hope y'all had a good and safe 4th July weekend. We do want to send out our prayers to the folks over in Texas and all the families that have been affected by that flooding.
Yeah, and I have some news on that.
Oh, okay.
Operation Barbecue Relief, which we've had representatives on here before. Mm-hmm. They are an organization of championship barbecue guys, pit masters, headquartered in Kansas City. And they started with the Joplin, Missouri tornado, I believe.
Okay.
And they deploy to natural disasters and feed people. This time yesterday, they announced we've deployed in Kerrville, Texas, in response to catastrophic flooding. And you can just look them up, obr.org, but it's Operation Barbecue Relief. You can donate money to them. If you're in the area, you can donate time and go help them out.
There you go.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And you see things, the flooding they had in Baton Rouge a number of years ago. Mm-hmm. Saw pictures coming out of it, and like Alon Shaya shut down Shaya, and they went to Baton Rouge, and they just cooked and fed people, no charge. Lots of restaurants in New Orleans did that. Churches were doing that. Mm-hmm. And, they, you know, catfish fried catfish or red beans and rice, whatever they could. Operation Barbecue Relief was there with this championship barbecue. And then you see the Red Cross, and you open up the box, and it's two chicken nuggets and a container of English peas.
Wow.
And that's it. And they raked in millions of dollars for that. And almost none of it, when you donate to the Red Cross, ever goes to the actual site.
Oh, they got all those highfalutin guys. CEOs got to pay. You know, they got to organize all that.
But, but everyone else is able to pull it off with no money at all.
My brother-in-law was over the Southern Baptist Disaster Relief, and they had tractor trailer rigs with kitchens in them. And
I'll tell you right now, a church can flat pull it off.
Yeah,
sure, a church can flat pull it off.
Well, Zach Brown's got
and
a.
They should. And they should.
The entertainer, Zach Brown, he's got a kitchen on. I saw it a couple
World
years.
Food Championship.
And that thing, they said they could feed like thousands of people out of that kitchen in a day.
Yeah. So if you want to give, there's organizations. Give to your local church if they're doing something, or if a church in your neighborhood is doing something, contribute to them. Organizations like Operation Barbecue Relief, and there are others out there, contribute to them because it goes directly to the people you're trying to help.
It's just like supporting
more immediate, too. It's more immediate.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like supporting local.
Yeah.
You know, when you go to a restaurant, neighbors. You do it local. Same thing with the American
charity,
Cancer
especially
Society.
Charity, yeah.
Mitchell Cancer City Center.
Yeah.
I'd rather donate to the Mitchell Cancer Center than I would the American Cancer Society.
And American Cancer Society is a good foundation.
Absolutely.
But
the Mitchell Cancer Center is immediate. It's right here for our market and our territory.
Yeah. I mean, some of these larger charities are notorious for how corrupt they are. We've already seen United Way send dozens of their head executives to prison for a lot of time because they were just spending the money on themselves.
Yeah.
And they had to revamp their whole operations to go with that local approach. Mm-hmm. You give to United Way in Mobile, it stays in Mobile.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just the money itself because money corrupts. I mean, it's just a tool. Absolutely. We're supposed to say that, you know, and it's something I always taught my kids. It has nothing to do with the symptom. Mm-hmm. The problem is the human heart.
Right.
You mm-hmm. know, but we, it's amazing how quickly that corrupts when you have an easier corruptor.
Big dollars.
Yeah.
Big dollars involved.
But the food thing is the best thing. You need clothing, you need shelter, you need stuff like that, but food is always, that's the end, if you will.
Food is important, and like you said, clothing is important, and toiletries. You know, imagine being out there and not being able to brush your teeth for a very long time, where you're going to need bottled water and
toilet paper.
Toilet paper.
Calling ace here.
But you know, as far as like clothing, I mean, socks, dry socks. When you've had your wet shoes on for days.
I was going to say, there ain't nothing worse. You know, get caught in the rain, for example, and then you got to wear them the rest of the day, and you get home and you feel relief. Think about that for 6 or 7 days in a row.
I want dry socks.
And in situations like this, you run into issues with trench foot, which is where the foot stays wet for too long, develops a fungus, I believe, that can lead to amputation. A lot of infection. That in World War I and II and all the wars prior to that.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good point.
So, we want to lend our help and our prayers, and if you got a little money or a little time, to the folks out in Texas. It's just a terrible story.
It happens so fast. I mean, you know, we don't think about, you know, that's just nature.
That's a flash flood. And we generally don't get them here, and if we do, it's in the middle of a street because our sewers are overflowed. Yeah. This is a case of...
Welcome to Mobile.
You know, there are riverbeds out in the West that sit dry.
Yeah.
You know, 11 months of the year.
Yeah.
But then they get one deluge, and it looks like the Mississippi.
Well, they said something like 2 million gallons, and I think they just came
as
a matter of hour.
Yeah,
it's
as
like
a wave
coming down. Now, this happened another time, too, where this campground along this calm little stream, you know, and then they did give flash flood warnings. And then it came and wiped out entire campgrounds.
Yes.
And I forgot how many people died in that. You always take a flash flood warning serious.
Yep. Indeed. Especially in the Midwest. Like Stu was saying, this is dry. This is desert for the most part. And it's only got so much absorption so fast.
It had time to absorb. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And here, it's already absorbed. I mean, we're sitting on water right now that's only several feet down, and that's it, you know.
Well, Steve, I remember the trips we used to take out to Spokane. You know, we're driving, and that's literally coast to coast. Mm-hmm. Alabama's on a coast. Washington's on a coast.
Yeah.
And I would get so excited because I was really into fishing back then. I see this coming up here. This is such and such river. And we go over this long bridge.
Nothing.
And dead in the middle, there's a stream you could step across.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is that what they call a river out here? And my mom's like, you should see it in April.
Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and we don't, because of where we are located, we don't experience that. Because if you ever look at the watershed for Mobile Bay, it's the entire state of Alabama almost flows into it, plus chunks of Mississippi, Tennessee, and Georgia all end up right here in Mobile Bay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's why we're used to having water all the time. We're where it ends. We're at the tail end of it.
There's a sign just outside of Loxley. As a matter of fact, it's this Mobile watershed. And
you're
still 30 miles away. You know?
Yeah. You know, a lot of tourists come down from the Midwest and up north. And right there where the Bayway crosses the causeway going east, you look at it all day long, any day, and you see the traffic, Google traffic, you could see it a yellow or red line, meaning it's congested
backed
there.
Up.
Yeah. I think it's because, this is my theory, I think it's because people get down from up there, they get down here, they get on, that's the first body of water they see. It is.
Yeah, unless they cross the Mississippi,
The first body of water they see, the beach or whatever, and I guess they think that's the ocean.
There is a lot of
down
that.
And look, I've seen people just taking pictures.
Rubbernecking.
And my dad used to say that was a big part of the issue on I-10 is that people want, we've got a beautiful bay. We know that's why we choose to live here.
Get off on a call.
And then there's this big metal boat sitting out there with guns pointing at you. It's cool. I get it. Take the causeway. There's places to pull over and take your
pictures.
And
eat. Places to eat.
Yeah.
Have a picnic right there.
Yeah.
Yeah, people don't think about that, you know, and then you have the people going, well, we'll just talk about the tunnel some other time.
All right, 251-343-0106 is the call and texting line. Give us a call.
Give us a text.
Give us a text. Love it.
From way out in the west, I get so tired of working all day.
Mike Bailey, Stuart Reb Donald, devoted to the complete gastronomic experience.
I want a big butter and egg man.
Big butter
Mike
and egg man.
On FM Talk 106.5.
Hey, Stu.
Hey, Michael, how you doing?
You know what today is?
It is July 6th.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And what happens? What national holiday happens on every July 6th?
I don't know.
Oh, you ought to know this one. Oh, well, I'll tell you.
Why don't you?
It's National Fried Chicken Day. Get out there and eat some fried chicken today.
Fitting that it's on a Sunday. I bet it's not on the same day every year. I bet they adjusted to make it land on a Sunday.
I don't know. It's
Jeez,
always
that makes
the
me want champions now.
It's always the 6th. Well, we already got plans.
Yeah, we already got plans. But
what are y'all's plans?
We're going to go try Banh Mi Cafe after the show. Try some Vietnamese po' boys.
Vietnamese po' boys.
Can they do that on lettuce wrap for me? I've been doing real good on my diet, so anyway. Yeah,
you've been doing the carnivore diet, you said.
Yeah, been doing the carnivore.
Carnivore-ish.
8.9 pounds in 1 week.
You gained?
Lost.
Oh, you lost.
Lost 8.9 pounds.
I had to clarify there, you know.
No, I don't need to get any more.
Does this put you in ketosis?
No.
Okay. Because ketosis is what keto comes from.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's what Atkins was doing. Ketosis is a state where your body starts burning its own fat cells for carbohydrates because you're not giving yourself any carbohydrates. It's a metabolic change.
Mm-hmm.
It's not one you should stay in for life. It's incredibly dangerous to do it for life.
No, mm-hmm. You do it to get down to your weight,
and then you adjust.
Because I love vegetables. I want to put vegetables in it so bad.
And nutrients are more important than losing weight.
Yeah.
This is pure and simple. Okay. It's better to be fat and get all the vitamins and minerals you're supposed to than it is to be skinny and be malnourished.
Yeah.
We say this to Mr. Malnourishment over here. What? He's like Johnny Carson, man. He'll be 70 years old, still look like he can play tennis.
I have friends that are in their 70s, and they look great. They look younger than me.
I went to my high school
and they play tennis.
Yeah.
Several years back, and they go, "You haven't changed a bit." And I went, "You ain't looking hard enough."
No, they just didn't think you looked that good in high school.
Yeah, something. I think a bit of both.
Yeah.
Hey,
I saw old man Steve over there.
But get out there and try. If you get a chance, go eat some fried chicken today. My two favorite are Champions, of course.
Yeah, which isn't local, but it is a regional chain.
It's regional.
That does a specialty that you can't get anywhere else.
But what is local is Mama Lou's over in Robertsdale.
Yeah.
Oh my God. They're buffets, all you could eat.
Stagecoach.
Oh, you got Stagecoach.
You got Streets over there in Bay Minette.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at the Hickory Pit and Sims, they do both regular fried chicken and barbecued fried chicken.
There you go.
Where they dunk the fried chicken in barbecue sauce, slide it in an oven so that it's still crispy.
Ooh, that sounds good.
But you got to have patience on that one.
Yeah.
That's about a 20-25 minute cook time to pull that one off.
And we want to say some happy birthdays too.
Happy birthday,
Sean Sullivan. Yesterday was his birthday.
I've heard of him before. He writes for a magazine or something. Maybe does a little radio now and then.
I had something planned. I was going to say but he's our guy who makes it all happen here.
The Sean Big Sullivan. Cheese.
The Big Cheese. Yeah. Is it provolone cheese? I don't know.
It is for at least 1 hour a week.
Yes, that's right. Kevin Halton, he's a server at Bob's Downtown Diner. Kevin is a great guy. I love hanging out with Kevin when I go down there, and he's always fun.
Ponytail, and usually not the same color every week.
And he's working for a great guy down there with Tony. Matt McLean. Now, see, McLean. You never remember that word? McLean. It's in a motion picture. McClane, yeah. If you watched it a thousand times like I have from Die Hard, it's easy to remember that name. He owns Fatty's Maddie's Barbecue, way good up there, man. Almost above Centronelle, almost the state line. Great barbecue. Great barbecue.
Well, since you've been up that way, have you tried Grillbilly's in Centronelle?
No, I have not.
Grillbilly's?
Also, Grillbilly's.
I don't get up there that often.
Yeah. They are only open on weekends, like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, maybe Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're up there on a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday, go to Grillbilly's too.
Yeah.
We should do a North Mobile County barbecue crawl, which would be two restaurants.
Go 43. Go 43 and 45 Fatty Maddie's and come back
and Grillbilly's.
Go up 43 and come back 45. Cross the dam and come back 45. Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. I guess we could run over to Leakesville, go to Ward's, and get us some root beer.
Ezell's.
Ezell's is on up there. That's Coffeyville.
Coffeyville.
Huh? Yeah. That ain't even this county.
Okay.
Is that – that's. I think that's at Washington and Choctaw.
Does it have to be in the county?
Well, if it's a barbecue crawl in North Mobile County, it kind of does. I guess what you're saying is you want to do a South Alabama road trip.
Something like that.
And if you'd like to sponsor Mike and I on the South Alabama road trip, we do have Venmo.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go. Hey, and we want to
drop a button,
we want to say a happy heavenly birthday to our buddy Carl Tilley.
Yeah.
Lost him a few years ago.
Yeah.
God, he was a great guy.
Yeah.
You were closer to him. And,
I went to music school with Carl, so we'd known each other since 87.
How many music students get in a restaurant and chef business?
Well, two out of that one class.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
You look at like Mario Batali was a guitar player.
Mm-hmm.
It's just another creative outlet.
It is. Yeah. It is. It is that. So. All righty. So anyway, I want to mention something. You know, I have a Facebook page. I'm not doing a whole lot with, but I want to get going. Gulf Coast Barbecue Trail. My whole intention of that was getting out here and just hitting all the barbecue places from here to there, here and yonder.
You know, the thing is, once people sign up and they put stuff, you don't actually have to do everything.
I know,
anything every
but
day.
I would like to get everybody to go who's listening, go to Gulf Coast Barbecue Trail. Ask to join, and you know, if you're not from Syria or whatever, but you may be. I don't know.
I'd like to know what barbecue's like in Damascus.
So there you go. You never know what it is. But Stu has a page that I've been really looking at a whole bunch lately. It's Delta Safari, and he's got all kinds of interesting stuff on
there. You looking at the TikTok?
The TikTok especially, yeah.
That I have saved just about every short I've ever put on YouTube in the almost 3 years I've been doing Delta Safari.
I didn't realize you had that much stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, neither did I until I started doing this. Because I was like, yeah, I'll wait till I got like 100 in the bag, and then I guess I'll crank TikTok back up and put them on there. I got like 600.
Wow.
So I've been dropping like two a day, sometimes three a day. It's helping me determine what time of the day is the best time to drop a talk, which apparently is first thing in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing after the afternoon gets much traffic, which is the opposite of YouTube. YouTube Shorts, you
and
want to drop
Facebook.
Around. Yeah. Well, I don't monitor the Facebook that much.
Well, I'm just saying Facebook is, you're talking about times to drop. The morning,
But you get a great history lesson of our area and the region. And Stu's got a great voice for it. He doesn't stumble like I do.
I'm good at editing.
Yes, you are. Yes, you
That's
are.
That's the secret.
But you make them interesting, and you just want to sit there and watch the whole thing.
All 3 minutes?
Yeah, that's not bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're all under 3 minutes long. On TikTok, I've gained a follower who used to be a reporter. I think he's retired now.
Mm.
And a couple of them I put up there, and he goes, I was the one that broke this story.
Wow.
And he worked the Sunset Limited train wreck. And then this morning I shared about the 200-car pileup on I-10, and he was the reporter that broke that.
Both the largest travel or transportation disasters ever, two of them happened in Mobile.
10 miles apart.
Yeah.
10 miles and 2 years apart, almost to the day, which is really staggering. And then there was the the Mobile magazine explosion that happened just after the Civil War, where they had packed all the munitions at the end of the war, and it killed 350 citizens, I believe. There was an entire neighborhood north of where you used to live, Deconte Square, that they said looked just like the French Quarter, and it wiped out the entire neighborhood. It was never rebuilt.
Fire do that.
Fire okay. and explosion. It sank yeah. two ships on the Mobile River.
Damn.
And this was off Beauregard Street.
Well, there used to be a brewery down on the water, and they were able to tap their water in a well below, I guess, right there by the river, but they were able to go deep enough to get their water, and it was a gravity-fed brewery. And I forget the name of it, but...
I remember that there used to be a brewery in Mobile. They used to be... at that ever-changing place right across from Beer Garden.
There used to be a soda company in there. I got some of their soda bottles.
Yeah.
Because there was a well in the back, and people started throwing all the trash in there, and that's where they threw a lot of...
A well.
Well, I am.
You know, he threw me off. Well, you said whale.
Well, I am from the South.
He's speaking Laurelese at the moment.
Yeah. 251-343-0106. Hey, if you got any food history questions... comments,
Mike will answer them.
Call or text.
And I will handle the wine.
You can well, get maybe. Anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. You can get anything you want at Alice's Restaurant. Walk right in, it's around the back. Just a half a mile from the railroad track.
For more than a decade, Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
I don't smoke.
Showing us something there. It was off the
breakfast gumbo. Chevron in Satsuma, which is such a wonderful name. They should rename it the Chevron on Satsuma. And that way it's as fancy as the food is inside that gas station.
Real chic.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but the breakfast gumbo, those who don't know, it is a bowl of grits topped with whatever breakfast stuff is on their bar. It could be scrambled eggs. It could be smoked sausage. It could be patty sausage.
So how does this fall into the rule that it's always got to have okra in it?
This is more an interpretation of the word gumbo as an amalgamation of things, as opposed to gumbo okra stew.
Okay.
It is a secondary definition that's evolved over probably the last 50 years.
Yeah. It starts a lot of arguments.
It's one of those words that Americans get wrong. The national media assumed that gumbo meant, oh, they put a bunch of stuff together.
Right.
They didn't understand it was a specific recipe.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So they started using gumbo to mean a melange or a blend.
Well, you know,
potpourri.
Cuvée.
Speaking of, just like cuvée, Just and when I think of gumbo, a lot of times, we have a gumbo expert in the area, and he's already sent us a text this morning, David Hubble. You know, he said he's catching up on yard work and burning off barbecue calories. So, but yeah, I think of Merloton. Every time I walk in a grocery store and I see a Merloton, I think of David Hubble. And then you can't think of gumbo without thinking Hubble.
Especially with the cape and the Merloton on his chest when he rips his shirt open.
Yeah, he's synonymous with those things.
Oh, my gosh.
And,
I don't know if I even want to know this story or not. We got a caller.
Okay.
Cookie. Got a question about mushrooms and mushroom history?
Mushrooms.
Yes, but first, the guy who's ripping off his cape, the magic Merloton, I should say. Because it is a wonderful, and relatively recent addition here in Mobile. But anyway, back to my question. Mushrooms. What's the history of mushrooms in Mobile, and how does that figure in our food configuration?
Well, I'll tell you. I don't know the answer. But I know who does, And we've had him on the show before, and I think Mike needs to reach out, and we'll schedule him to come back on again. But that's Tam the Mushroom Man.
Yeah.
Now, if you want to run down to the public library and ask one of those ladies to show you that online thing, they can point you to his Facebook page because he does everything from Facebook where it doesn't cost him anything. But he grows and he harvests, actually goes out in the woods and looks for exotic mushrooms to sell to restaurants.
Yeah.
And he's very knowledgeable. Cool. Yeah, and I think you missed when he was on the show before. So we just need to have him back on. And what we will do is when he's on, we'll have him address the role of mushrooms in the culinary world right here where we live. Because mm-hmm. I'm sure Native Americans would have used them. I love them. I just had cremini's.
Right.
Which,
do you know? Our communal historic and current history.
Yeah, because I mean, any place that has dark, wet soil is a good place for mushrooms.
Well, sure got the wet.
Yeah, we certainly do.
We got plenty of woods, so there's lots of areas there.
And just for those who don't know, mushrooms are neither animal nor are they plants.
So you do know something.
Yeah. Yeah, they are.
Something.
Yeah, Tam told us that the last time.
Day we had Tanner on,
yeah,
he brought a variety of different mushrooms. One of them tasted like bacon, fried bacon.
Mm-hmm.
But the lion's mane.
Yeah.
I've seen that out in the woods before, growing on the side of a tree. I had no idea they were edible how delicious they were.
You know the puffer mushrooms, the ones you step on and the black cloud comes mm-hmm. out of them? When they first come up, they're not black on the inside. They are perfectly good to eat. Taste a whole lot like a button mushroom.
Mm-hmm.
The black, and it's kind of a thing that's with all mushrooms. Once that black stuff develops, that's the toxic part. So the puffers, if you cut it open and it's white all the way through, enjoy. It'll be delicious. If you cut into it and it's black, throw it away, wash your hands.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough about mushroom foraging to get out there and really do it. My niece is very good at harvesting chanterelles from the woods around their house in Grand Bay. That's an expensive mushroom.
A chanterelle?
Mm. Yeah, chanterelle mushroom. Mm. They are delicious. Well, keep in mind, all mushrooms are wild.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we've learned how to point them in the way, but to say that we farm them like we do other vegetables
Are you saying free range like? Or?
To a certain extent. One of the hardest ones they ever did that with was shiitake mushrooms, because
mm-hmm.
those grow on the sides of trees. And what they ended up doing was cutting large logs, drilling holes into the side of them, what they call plugs.
Mm-hmm.
They would fill that plug that had chanterelle spores in it. Oh. And then they could start cultivating mushrooms. So they're not really farmed, they're cultivated, which is in between complete mastery of it and it just growing wild.
So on these mushroom, you're saying farmers? Do they have farmers?
It's kind of split. Some people will have growing facilities.
Okay.
And then other people, I mean, there's certain mushrooms like morels. I don't think you can cultivate those. You have to go out in the woods and find them.
Okay. So are the farmers called fun guys?
Oh, all that? You were setting up for that.
Sorry, I was waiting. I'm serious. So
hey, Steve will be at Westminster Village all week. Y'all remember to tip your servers and anybody that changes your bedpan.
I was trying to be serious in a way, but I mean, you were saying pointing in the right direction. I mean, do they point? Is there a cultivation process, I wonder?
Yeah, there is, and it's different for different types of mushrooms because mm-hmm. they have such a short lifespan. It's not like a tomato plant that you start from seed and, 3 months later you start getting tomatoes.
Right.
They spring up after a rain usually, and they're only there for a few days.
I got you.
So they would have to be constantly rotating.
Well, that'd be a Bill Finch question, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Bill would be a good one to answer that.
We get all this rain like we do.
Oh, I've had mushrooms going crazy
all over the place, just in my yard. And I just wonder which variety of those are actually edible.
Edible and which aren't, yeah.
I asked that once to, I had a girlfriend who was a biologist. And she said, well, you're not going to like the answer. I go, okay, what is it? She goes, take a little bite, wait 24 hours, and if you don't get sick, they're okay to eat. But there's two types of edible mushrooms. There's mushrooms you can eat, and then there's mushrooms you want to eat. There's some that aren't toxic, but they're not good. You know, they're not, they don't enhance anything.
Right.
They're sustenance in a starvation scenario. So they're good to know. But most of us don't find ourselves in true starvation scenarios.
Just look at us.
Yeah. People don't get lost in the woods for weeks at a time like they used to 100 years ago.
Yeah, that raises a good question. I wonder if there is a mushroom diet that would be beneficial to losing weight. That guy, because I see a lot of ads now with this Rise coffee that are mushroom coffee.
Mushrooms are extremely healthy in various ways. But you could pretty much... I could anyway, can replace the meat in just about anything with mushrooms, and I'll be happy.
Well, those, some of those mushrooms we had that day, right, could. They tasted like meat.
Yeah.
Now, what is the difference between mushroom and tofu?
A tofu is a highly processed food that is made by fermenting soybeans. And they ferment it. They make a curd, like a cheese curd, from the proteins from that fermented soybean. And it goes through, it's one of the most processed foods in the world. It is vegan, but it is not at all a natural food. It is one of the most processed foods in the world to get it from soybean to imitation cheese. Even more
Which
than
is
it
what
takes
tofu
to get.
Is an imitation cheese?
Yeah, it's used a lot in its place because it can be added in places where you would normally add cheese. And there are ways to do tofu that are great. I'll tell you, Jim Smith, our buddy at Hummingbird Way in the Oakley District, did fried tofu.
I've heard of that, yeah.
Where you just take the pieces, cube them, and throw them in a fryer. Well, then they develop a skin on the outside. That is wonderful, and then they're still soft on the inside, and then you toss them in the sauce to give them flavor, because that's the ultimate thing with tofu is it doesn't have any flavor.
Exactly.
But it's a source of protein.
Okay.
But, yeah, he did it like that. There's also silken tofu, which doesn't set up like you're used to seeing, and it can be used in places. That's what the soyaes is, stuff like that, the vegan sour creams and ranch dressings. They're using that silken tofu, which is more of a thick liquid like a yogurt. Don't know that has anything. And then there is another type of tofu called tempeh.
I kind of like the way you put it, tofu.
It's because this one's called tempeh, so I was pulling up that P.
You're good.
Tempeh is then take the tofu and ferment it again until it's stinky and brown. Not really a fan of that. I've tried it. The first place I ever saw it, it was a pizza topping at Mellow Mushroom. And did not care for it.
Going back to mushrooms.
Yeah.
And fungi.
Yeah.
And fungi. We're fungi.
Yeah.
Steve's the funniest.
Yeah.
So, anyway. dropping those one-liners. Anyway. Truffles.
Truffles are a mushroom.
Okay.
Yeah. That grow underground.
Right.
Which is why you need pigs or dogs. You prefer dogs. Because the pigs smell them because they want to eat them. Once they find them, you got to fight the pig to get the truffles.
In Fitou, France, it's against the law to hunt the boar, the wild boar. And they had to put fences around the vineyards so they won't eat the grapes. But they used the dogs to hunt the wild boar because the wild boar find
the mushrooms. Yeah.
And
that's a good little sin. That's why truffle remains today as expensive as it is. It's another one that's hard to cultivate. You need exactly the right climate, the right soil. Oregon and Tennessee have had good success in cultivating truffles, but they have to grow underground. You're going to have to use an animal to find them. Now, I'm sure there's some kind of systems now where they grow it all in a box and then they could just sift it and the dirt falls out and they find them. But that's just going to be as expensive as having someone go out and dig around with a pig.
Right. Yeah.
Give a number, Mike.
251-343-0106.
That's the number I was thinking.
We're psychotic.
No doubt.
Are the dynamic duo of dining. Sip and Chew with Mike and Stu. Call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Hi, Michael.
Hello, Stu.
Did you do any kind of 4th of July food?
I just ate pork ribs.
Huh? Well, that would be a 4th of July food.
And did some fried corn.
Uh-huh.
Broke my diet. Did do some fried corn. Oh, and some, I don't normally eat baked beans, but these were awesome.
Yeah, I do. I love baked beans. To me, the two sides mm-hmm. that go with barbecue are potato salad and baked beans. Mm-hmm. Nothing else goes with it.
Yeah. I didn't even have a hot dog, though. Yeah. I wish I'd have gotten a hot dog.
I grilled a petite steak with some mushrooms, mm-hmm. Cremini mushrooms, mm-hmm. which Walmart would lie to you and tell you are called baby bellas. They are the juvenile mm-hmm. stage of a portobello, but they have an actual name, and that's cremini.
Okay.
And did some of those and a piece of watermelon.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we did have watermelon for sure. Yeah. So
I bought that real nice one off that fella for $5 out of Citronelle that stopped by.
Mm-hmm.
And just had a truckload of them.
Yeah. That's a good price.
Yeah. 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 And this was the small one for $5.
Wow.
He
foot
had
and a half.
$10 ones.
Oh, my.
I've had a lot of watermelon the last couple of weeks and different sizes from the full watermelons and then from the round ones. Finding the round ones have been sweeter yeah. than the big ones.
Yeah. I got one that was a little shorter and rounder, and it's been delicious. But my friends that have been buying from me said they have all been sweet and delicious from this guy.
Huh. Okay.
And I'm saving them rinds. I'll be bringing in them watermelon rind pickles for y'all.
Okay.
Watermelon rind pickles.
You like pickles?
I like pickles, but I never heard of watermelon rind pickles.
Watermelon rind, if you taste it, tastes pretty much like a cucumber.
Hmm.
It just doesn't taste anything like watermelon, so we don't eat it, but it makes fantastic pickles.
Hmm. Interesting.
If I were going to do a Southern charcuterie board, that is the pickles I would put on it, is pickled watermelon rind.
That makes sense. But yeah. you don't have them year-round, though.
Well, you can get watermelon year, and it's also a pickle.
Yeah,
you just get them all in watermelon season and pickle them.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also do souse or hoghead cheese on it, which
Chris
I think is
Daphne
perfect.
Chris and Daphne says, "Hey, Mike and Stu, how about coleslaw on a pulled pork sandwich?"
It's a travesty.
I like.
He said nothing better.
I like my coleslaw on the side. Whenever I like coleslaw, of course, to me, there's been nothing better than cock of the walk coleslaw. That's
didn't
just
like
my
it.
Opinion.
Didn't like it. See, I don't like mayonnaise based coleslaws.
See, I do.
The only one I've ever had that was mayonnaise based that was good is that one that Callahan's uses on their LA burger mm-hmm. because it's half Zatarain's Cajun mustard and there's no sugar in it.
Yeah.
I don't like mayonnaise and sugar combined. It is disgusting to me.
Hmm.
And that's vinegar too.
Yeah.
It's got vinegar.
So most coleslaw is cream, right?
But it's mayonnaise.
Going back to his question.
Mayonnaise and sugar.
That's what it is.
That's why it's gross.
Going back to his comment about the coleslaw on the pulled pork sandwich, I want to taste, before I eat anything else, when I order pork or barbecue, I want to taste the meat by itself without the sauce. Without bread. I want to taste the meat. I want to look at it. Check for smoke ring and see if there's any really juicy caramelized burn in that
some bark.
Some bark. But I want to see what they did with the meat, with seasoning, and did they
smoke.
Have to because mainly smoke.
Yeah.
Because like the brick pit, they never used any salt or pepper or anything on their meat.
Yeah.
They used smoke.
Yeah, just smoke to flavor.
And then they put all the seasonings in the barbecue sauce.
Be like putting A1 on a hamburger rather or something like a mm-hmm. steak, you know. You do the steak first, and then why would you even want to put A1?
Where I am okay with the coleslaw and the barbecue thing is when you make concoctions out of the barbecue, barbecue nachos.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to put some coleslaw on top of barbecue nachos up there with the baked beans,
mm-hmm.
I'm down with that.
Yeah.
That's fine. I would prefer it not be a mayonnaise base. I have had at Chuck's Barbecue at Opelika, Mississippi, which is a great example, or Opelika, Alabama, is a wonderful example of a very small regional style of barbecue called Big Pig, where they use just one small section of the butt called the CT butt, and they smoke it at a high heat so it gets a crust on it,
mm-hmm.
and then they chip it for sandwiches.
Ooh.
And they do a sauce on it, but that particular style barbecue uses the mustard style barbecue sauce, not the ketchup based. They make the slaw with the mustard barbecue sauce.
Ooh.
That is fantastic. And I don't know what the price is now. Last time I was there was 2005, I think, or 2006. And on game days for Auburn, mm-hmm. their chipped pork sandwiches were $1 a piece.
Wow.
And there was a line to get them.
I bet.
But you're not special making them. Hey, they're coming exactly the same. Chipped pork.
Bang, bang, bang.
With a little bit of sauce and some of the slaw on it, wrapped in foil. Go in there, get 10 of them for $10, which is what I did.
Yeah. Randy says he needs the best place in Mobile to get some Eggs Benedict.
I'm not a big fan of Eggs Benedict.
I used to make pretty good ones on my on my balcony.
I don't like hollandaise sauce. It's just more mayonnaise to me.
Right,
it's a whole lot of work for something that doesn't add much. I prefer a cheese sauce. Mama's is known for their Benedict. Any Benedict I would get would give me a crab cake Benedict.
Hmm.
You know, leave the English muffins for hamburgers.
Mama's, where's...
I'm going to be honest.
That's on Dolphin
Street.
It's
on Dolphin Street.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I just don't go and eat Eggs Benedict like I used to. It's been over 10 years
I've
since
I've never
I
been a huge fan of it myself.
Yeah, I always made it home.
It's so a fancy
easy.
English muffin.
Yeah.
Or Egg McMuffin.
Hey, Stu, you've brought up condiments a couple times.
But Mama's is what I would recommend.
Particularly mayonnaise.
Mayonnaise, a lot of references to mayonnaise.
You've really been throwing eggs at mayonnaise this morning. Yeah. But I happened to watch this morning on CBS Sunday Morning, mm-hmm. which I pick and choose what shows I want to see on. But they did three different segments on the three different condiments. They did ketchup first, then later in the show they did mustard, and then they did mayonnaise last. Mm-hmm. But they really gave a history lesson on those three things. And you could probably go, now you can, after the show's over, you go on YouTube probably, or just go to CBS Sunday Morning on this day, July 6th.
Google the same information that they did.
Yeah, and you can watch their segment on
right.
it. They did a great segment on the ketchup and one a great one on mustard. But the mayonnaise is, you know, there was a battle. Who invented mayonnaise?
French or Italians?
Yeah, and they're saying that the French, because of the chefs, they could not duplicate they was trying to duplicate what a sauce that they used. So they were just, it's mainly for, it was a sauce.
Well, ketchup is the youngest of the three,
mm-hmm.
because ketchup was initially ketchup, and it came from Southeast Asia, and it was fermented fish heads.
Hmm.
And the European palate did not care for it, so they started fermenting other things until they hit on the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where ketchup came from. So it's the youngest of the three because Europe wasn't introduced to tomatoes till 1492, so it was almost 1700 before they actually ate one.
Wow.
They had them in Europe for 200 years. They were scared to eat them because they thought they were toxic.
Ah.
Mustard is probably the oldest. It comes from India because it's just take the mustard seed, grind it, a little oil, and
mm-hmm.
you've got – but yeah. The history of the hamburger – encompasses the entire world. Bread was originally made in Egypt. The mustard, you know, in India. Mm-hmm. The patty itself comes from the Russian steppe that the Tartars, which were Mongols, would put under their saddle, and it would grind it throughout the day, and then they'd eat it at the end of the day. And then by the time they got to what is now Germany and Hamburg, they cooked the patty. And that's the cheeseburger for you.
Well, that's your history lesson for this week, so, folks.
Yeah.
Good job, Stu.
Thank
Love
you.
Love it. Folks, get out there, support local, be local, buy local, support local, tip your server, service earn your tip, and above all else, please,
grow alone.